Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Russ M. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Norristown, Pennsylvania. Today is Friday, March 27, 2026. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're in There's a Solution. We're on page 27, the third paragraph, starting with He Said to the Doctor. And we're reading two paragraphs and ending with your description. We're going to read and share on them. All right, our reader. So we have, for the steps, we have Maura Z. For the traditions, Vasa O. Reading and sharing start us off as Colleen M. Page 164, Zoe N. Backup readers, Vanessa G. Newcomer readers, Hanayeta R. Second hour host is Eileen M. And Kathy S. is going to take care of the announcements. Share ID for yesterday, Thursday, March 26, 2026. We're jumping a year here. 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,317. That's 23,317. The 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,318. 23,318. DOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who have shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Mar Z to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Russ. Mar Z, gratefully recovered in Virginia. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, but our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching, fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
All right there, Mara. Thanks a lot. Next up is Vasa O with the 12 traditions.
Yes, thanks, Russ, and good morning, everyone. I'm Vasa O, grateful recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Port Charlotte, Florida. The 12th tradition of Overeaters Anonymous, number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lead the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our own primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Haynes, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions. Every reminder to place principles before personalities. And thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass it to you.
Thank you, Vasa, and thank you, Mar. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the direction for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read and share a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and to keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we resume our study of the Big Book, and there's a solution. We're on page 27, the third paragraph, and it starts with, he said to the doctor, and it ends with, alcoholic of your description. So we're going to read and share on them. Those paragraphs. And Colleen M. is going to start us off this morning.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Russ. Thank you so much for your service. This is Colleen M. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Maryland. He said to the doctor, is there no exceptions? Yes, replied the doctor, there is. Exceptions to cases such as yours have been occurring since early times. Here and there, once in a while, alcoholics have had what are called vital spiritual experiences. To me, these occurrences are phenomenons. They appear to be in the nature of huge emotional displacements and rearrangements, ideas, emotions, and attitudes, which were once the guiding force of the lives of these men, are suddenly cast to one side, and a completely new set of concepts and motives begin to dominate them. In fact, I have been trying to produce such emotional rearrangements within you. With many individuals, the methods which I employed are successful, but I have never been successful with an alcoholic of your description. So, wow, this paragraph is so hugely powerful for me because this is what has happened to me in this part of my recovery life. And I've been in recovery in one form or another since the late 90s. And I've been I've been recovered, abstinent for about 8.5 years, but recovered for maybe 3 years. And what happened was I got abstinent, but I did not have this huge emotional displacement and rearrangement. My ideas and emotions and attitudes, which guided me in my illness, and not that I didn't have periods of relief, but you know, these emotional ideas, emotions, and attitudes were selfishness, self-centeredness, dishonesty, and fear. I was, full of self-pity. I, saw the glass half empty. I didn't have a higher power that I trusted and relied on. I tried this, all these things, but, I couldn't get a grasp on it. And what happened is I got the food down and some of my other addictive behaviors down over the last 8.5, almost 9 years. And then I got with a sponsor who took me through the steps and helped guide me to a relationship with a higher power that I could trust. And it was a very slow process for me. A lot of it were just old ideas I had about who God was and how he showed up in my life. And the other part of getting that relationship with this higher power was growing up emotionally, not being so sensitive to everything that was happening around me, and learning how to give of myself, not in a way that was codependent. And, a lot of times I gave of myself with a lot of expectations. And, I gave because it made me feel good about me. Today I give because I have an abundance to offer. The other part of working these steps and getting this connection with this higher power and is that I've gotten a relationship with myself. I can be honest with myself today, with who I am, where I'm at. I don't have to judge myself because I'm having a bad day or I'm having an emotion that I may think is, like I'm having anger. I can be angry and not angry at someone. I never understood that. If I was angry, someone had to be to blame. So, God has... okay, this is a God thing. It was not me. It was working these steps in an abstinent state with all of my addictions down. And it's been amazing. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Colleen. Thanks for helping us out reading today. So now we're going to open up the lines for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you share on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and allow others to get a chance to share. I'll need your first name, first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from.
Harlan G.
L-E-S.
All right, got Harlan. Harlan, I think it was Ellie.
Ellie.
Kelly.
Oh, Kelly.
Kelly, yes.
Kelly, hold on. Kelly, yes. All right,
Tanya
right. D. Tanya D. I think I got
D.
Tony. Oh, there
Elaine
it is.
Elaine F.
Quick.
New York.
Elaine S. And then that was Claire. Claire E. Okay, come on. Keep it going.
Liz E. UK.
Oh, it was Lizzie. Liz E. I'm hearing things. All right.
Judith and
Judith.
Okay, I have to be Claire E from the UK as well.
Did we get Claire? Claire was
yeah,
in there?
Yeah.
All right, I know. Oh, man, we got all the great UK people here today.
Kelsey R.
Kelsey. You guys are awesome.
Kim B, Oregon.
Kim B.
Ann F. in New York.
Ann S?
Deanne F. in New York.
Oh, yeah. Deanne F. So we got a great list here. Who else? I heard somebody.
Alice W. from the UK, please.
Oh, man. We got all the great people here today. Everybody's great. All right. Harlan, Kelly, Tanya, Liz, Elaine, Judith, Claire, Kelsey, Kim, Deanne, and Alice. All right, Harlan, I'm going to give you an ungentle reminder, man.
Thank you very much, Russ. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. Let's take a look at this paragraph, and let's take a look at something that we all know. If I want different, I got to do different. In other words, change. Let's see how many times Dr. Jung is going to refer to the concept of change in his conversation with Roland Hazard. He's going to say, here and there, once in a while, alcoholics have had what are called vital spiritual experiences, change. To me, these occurrences are phenomenon. He calls it a phenomena because he knows what they are, but he doesn't get where they come from. They're idiopathic. They appear to be in the nature of huge emotional displacements, change, and rearrangements, change. Ideas, emotions, and attitudes, which were once the guiding forces of the lives of these men, are suddenly cast to one side, change. And a completely new set of conceptions, change, and motives begin to dominate them. In fact, I have been trying to produce some such emotional rearrangement within you, change. With many individuals, the methods which I employed are successful, but I have never been successful with an alcoholic of your description. In other words, if I want different, I have to do different. I cannot think that I'm just going to be abstinent and I'm not going to change and rearrange and revolutionize my way of thinking. And how do I do that? Do I will myself to do that? Heck no. Do I willpower myself to do that? No. Can I read it in a book? No. What can I do? I work the steps. I live the steps. And then I go teach it to other people. And in doing so, these things, being abstinent and staying away from my binge foods, staying away from behaviors that have been killing me since childhood, become very, very simple. They become very, very simple because what I've done at that point is I have placed my life and my will in the hand of God. I am no longer running the show. By making these changes, I have completely taken my life out of my own hands, given it to a God that I trust, giving it to a God that I will spend the rest of my life worshiping, getting to know, completely put it in the hands of a God that is better equipped to handle the direction of my life than I am, the course of my life than I am. So this paragraph is extremely vital because what Dr. Jung is impressing upon Roland and what the book is impressing upon us is this concept that if things are going to be different, they are going to have to change. That I
ungentle reminder.
Do what I've done, thank you. That I cannot do what I've done and expect to get anything different. Thanks, Russ, for your service, and I will pass. Thank you so much.
Thanks, R. All right, next up is Kelly S., followed by Tanya B.
Hey, good morning, Russ. Thanks. Thanks for moderating. Hey, guys, Kelly S., recovered compulsive overeater in Bloomington, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and man, Harlan, dude, you stole my share. I think you said everything I wanted to say, so I'm going to piggyback on it. Kind of wanted to talk to the newcomer, because if you're coming in here and you have an eating problem, you're like, what the hell is this all about, right? And what was that guy just talking about? You know, this whole God thing and changing. I just wanted to lose some weight and get my eating under control. Sadly, that's what I wanted to do for several decades in these rooms, right? And as it was shared earlier, you know, it's like the thing I remember, I have to remind myself, the same person will eat again. And I did eat again. And unlike Colleen, thank you so much for that opening share, but I was never able to stay abstinent without the change, you know, because I go back to the food. And, you know, the very end of this paragraph when he says, I've been trying to produce this stuff, but with people like you, the real compulsive overeater, the real addict, they're not successful. Why? Human power can't do this for me. I tried human power. I tried good sponsors. I tried good workshops. I tried all kinds of human power. But guess what it's going to take? It's going to take God, right? And how am I going to get to God? I know a lot of people come in here with a good concept of God, but it's all about the transformation. All this book is a design for living. You know, we're just simply getting abstinent so we can work these steps. So here's the deal. You know, how am I going to get these? I can't change my heart. You know, I've tried. I'm going to try to be nice. I'm going to try to be compassionate. It doesn't work, right? I'm going to try to be abstinent. It doesn't work. I lack power. But through the working of these steps, you know, we always hear it's the treasure map to God, right? But somehow it's this process of doing these steps and this power of God that we get transforms me and makes me a completely different person. So I don't have to go back to the food. I have a design for living now. I don't just have a good food plan. I do have a good food plan, by the way, but that never worked for me. And the doctor couldn't do it either. So if I really don't want to keep going back, which I kept going back, I'm going to have to read this book and understand it's about the change. It's about transformation. It's a design for living. It's not just an abstinent food plan, right? And the only way to do that is to get busy taking action. It's an action plan, you guys. We got to do our part. I do. At least I have to do my part. I have to work every one of these steps in order for this transformation to happen. I have to get this connection with God so God can go in and rearrange my heart. And today I am a different person. I live by spiritual principles. Trust me, I did not come in for that, right? It freaks me out how different I am. It is a miracle. Today I'm abstinent, I'm recovered, I am neutral with food, but I'm living life with integrity and honesty, and I'm so grateful for that. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Russ.
Thanks, Kel. Appreciate it. Next up is Tanya B, followed by Lizzie.
Hi, this is Tanya D as in dog, recovered compulsive overeater. Yeah, in Illinois. And no problem. And yeah, I'm just loving these shares, and I love this paragraph. I just love this description of what a spiritual experience is, because I think it kind of, you know, demystifies it for me. You know, it is about undergoing an attitude change and undergoing a change in what I value. That also highlights that, you know, my disease is not about the food. Of course, I want to pay attention to the food, and I want to understand like what my trigger foods are and so on. But in order to stay away from my problematic eating behaviors and binging and, you know, to recover, I need a change in my attitudes, because as people said, as long as that change doesn't happen, I'm just going to keep going back to the food. And I'm really grateful that now we have a roadmap, you know, because the time that this was said, these changes are described, you know, as phenomena, and Dr. Jung doesn't understand what produces them, because there was no 12-step program. Like, it just kind of had to happen on its own in an unexplained way. And now I'm grateful that there is a program that we work to create this change. And what this change was for me, you know, when I came into program, I lived in the future. Everything was going to start on Monday, the first of the month, tomorrow. Life was going to start then. I was going to stick to the diet, lose the weight, gain self-confidence, gain X, Y, or Z, everything, self-esteem, everything was going to be great. You know, it was never today. So that was a key thing that started to change, is, you know, the emphasis on staying in the present. And I also didn't want to hear anything about a higher power. I wanted to be in control. I wanted to be above other people, but I was afraid that I was below, I was worse than, which definitely makes for a lot of turmoil, which ultimately led me to the food. I didn't want to be of service to others. It was all about me, you know, the selfishness and the self-centeredness. Anytime anything happened, I thought it had everything to do with me. And those are the attitudes that changed as a result of working the steps. Now, when I came in, I didn't even know that those were the attitudes that needed changing. If somebody said, I cannot will myself to have these different attitudes, even if I understand what they need to be, the way that it happened for me is through working the steps, developing a relationship with a higher power, cleaning up the wreckage of my past and continuing. You know, and it definitely doesn't have to be sudden. I think for many of us, it's not sudden, again, because now we have a program that we work through. Thanks. I'll wrap up. And so I'll stop here. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Tanya D. So next up is Liz E, followed by Elaine S.
Good morning. My name is Liz E for Elegance, a compulsive overeater in Bristol, South West England. Thank you for hearing me today. And yeah, it's just every paragraph's amazing here, isn't it? And this is telling me I have to do my life different, working these steps. And for me, it's been about insight into who Liz really is, because my understanding of who I was wasn't actually the truth, but it helps me understand that I've got to look inside me. And this is a massive self-awareness program for me, and understanding that I have to do life differently forces me to look at that, and then it helps me understand what I need to do. And been a journey over many years, and a journey that I've done with all of you on this line and shared, and constantly getting feedback and challenge, which has helped me grow. But it's this emotional rearrangement, and I'm just so grateful for this program. I've had a really challenging week. Yesterday was the funeral of my ex-partner, my daughter's father, and it was very sad and difficult on multiple levels. But with my sponsor, with you fellows, with this program, most importantly, with God, I'm here, abstinent today, and I'm working the program. Thank you very much. Thanks a million, and I'll leave it there. Bye.
Thanks, Liz. Appreciate it. Next up is Elaine S., followed by Judith S.P.
Hi, this is Elaine S. from New York. What an amazing meeting. Thank you, all of you who've been a part of this meeting. And what I want to share with is this change. And I'm looking, you know, what my notes that I've written here. And the biggest change is that I now live in humility. That's the biggest change. Specifically, what's happening is that I'm not focusing on Elaine all the time. I'm focusing on how I can be of service to God and others without expectation, without needing something back, as somebody said earlier today. And the other thing that's changed that's wonderful that people don't talk about so much is that I can order clothes online and they fit perfectly. I just ordered two things from a wonderful designer that I like that was marked down 50%, and the clothes fit me perfectly. And it's like, wow, that I could never find anything to fit before. Nothing. It was just ridiculous. But in the meantime, as that is wonderful, I also just feel the joy, not only for what I can give, but for what God has created for me. And for all of us, this amazing world we live in, even with war, even with horrible things happening, I can feel so much gratitude for the sky, for the sun, for the rain, for the leaves, the flowers. We're in New York, and the first flowers coming out are purple, and pretty soon we'll have daffodils. They'll be yellow, and then, you know, it just goes on and on. There's so much to be grateful for, and God has created these gifts for us, and so in being with humility, I'm also full of gratitude, feeling these things, feeling my prayers. And what's required is 100% abstinence, 100% from the foods, the combination of foods, the behaviors, the quantity, all of those things. Recently, I've got this mustard from Trader Joe's. The 10th ingredient was sugar. It triggered me. The 10th ingredient, I threw it out. That night, food was calling me, and I was having breakfast, lunch, and dinner. A little, this nice flavor. I can't have that. I threw it out. I have neutrality again. So this honesty, so many changes that come out of this. My relationship with my husband. I was so critical of him, even though I loved him. I'm not anymore. He is the way he is. He's perfect the way he is, and we support each other. My daughter just yesterday told me that it was really not convenient for us to go visit them during Passover because the kids had to take naps, the different things, different reasons, and my feelings weren't hurt. We were just there recently. I can not take everything personal.
Time.
And all right, thank you so much. Anyway, I feel just thrilled and blessed to be part of this program and to be with all of you. And this is Elaine S. in New York. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Elaine. Now, before Judith jumps up on here, let me let you know where we're at. We're in There's a Solution, page 27, third paragraph, starting with, he said to the doctor, and going through another paragraph ending with your description. So we're sharing on that. All right, Judith, you're up.
Hi, everyone. My name is Judith S.P. I live in Maryland and truly grateful to be here and recover to this moment in time. Thank you, God. Thank you, Russ, and for everybody being here and all the shares before me. I go back to a couple lines before where we started, and our friend felt as though the gates of hell had closed in on him with a clang. And it's almost like, you know, the gates were closing. And I have felt this in my life in so many different ways. Psychoanalysis, yoga retreats, self-help books, including, of course, diets and, you know, trying to clean it up by myself. And, I always felt like I lost at the end of the game, even if I was trying my hardest. And, when I look at the spiritual experience is the key for me. How do I get it? I work these steps. And as the paragraph was being shared, I thought about what happened for me several times in steps 4 and 5. And again, for the newcomer, just hold on tight. You'll understand as we go by. Doing my inventory and cleaning up the filth and disgust in my internal home and being able to release that into the sunlight of the spirit was the beginning of my awakening, and then being able to work the rest of the steps. And what I'm experiencing here in Dr. Young's description is the true nature of the huge emotional displacement and rearrangement. It's like buying a house as we did ours that was a total mess when we bought it. One would look at it and say, how could you live here? How could I live inside my own body? And I didn't at times. But after cleaning it up and rearranging the furniture and getting new floors and scrubbing down the walls and getting a new paint job, a new outer lining and a roof and et cetera, the house is definitely livable and to us is very wonderful. So internally, having had the opportunity every single moment of every day to keep cleaning up, the greatest gift I've gotten from this program is the ability to focus on what's my part. What is going on in this moment that is triggering disturbance or making me excited? And when I look deeper through 10 steps, through my prayer and meditation, through my love and service to others, the answers come to me from only my higher power. I do hear messages through people, through books, through movies, through the cherry blossoms bursting.
Time.
But it's all about God. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Judith, from Maryland. All right, Claire E. from the UK, you are up.
Thanks, Ross, and thanks to everybody doing service today. My name's Claire E. I'm a compulsive eater and bulimic in Cornwall in the UK, down in the southwest. I think good UK representation today. And what a paragraph. So I was just kind of flicking back and forward, really. The friend felt though the gates of hell had closed on him with a clang. If somebody had said to me, or they did actually say to me when I first came into the fellowship, you know, on my knees with my bulimia, that I needed to have a vital spiritual experience, I think I would have felt like the gates of hell had clanged on me, because I just couldn't, you know, I just couldn't get my head around that. I have nothing against religion or spirituality, but I really didn't see how that was going to help me when it was on me, when that sort of urge, compulsion to eat was on me. I really couldn't understand how that could possibly be a thing. And I'm really grateful that, you know, and I think actually a lot of the literature as well gave me the impression, you know, Bill W. had quite a sudden emotional upheaval, so did Bill D. You know, there's a lot of burning bush moments. And I spent many years in the fellowship hanging around meetings trying to get some sort of spiritual experience by osmosis. You know, I think I believed that one day someone was going to say something and my whole outlook was going to change. It was going to be the thing. And, you know, the end of this paragraph, there's an asterisk. And the asterisk hooks to that appendix at the back of the book, which explains the spiritual experience of the educational variety. And here, you know, Dr. Young is really going into it in a way that's really, really understandable. You know, emotional displacement and rearrangement, you know, ideas, emotions and attitudes need to change. I need to get new conceptions and motives. I can get my head around that. And, you know, what I've got written down the side here is this is a destructive process. This 12 steps is getting rid of everything that's not God so that all that is left by step 12 is God. And, you know, that's the function of the 12 steps for me, is to challenge, uncover, discover, discard all of the things that block me from my access to my higher power, such that I am not one that needs to eat. And I think someone shared it earlier, you know, if I remain that person, I will eat again. That's addiction. I have to have a spiritual experience. And for me, it has been of the educational type. You know, I have to look back and see that my ideas, concepts and motives have really changed, but they do it so slowly. And it's two steps forward, one step back a lot of the time. But when I look back with hindsight, I am not the person I am when I came in, that person that needed to medicate every single feeling she ever had with food. I'm not that person anymore, thank God. Just if anyone's, you know, struggling with a spiritual experience, there are so many other descriptive terms in the big book which make it such a graspable concept and something that really works. And the other thing I just wanted to add as well is that I heard earlier in a meeting, and I think it's brilliant, I have to do this to be able to feel this, to be able to think this, you know, so it's an action first process. I have to take the actions I'm told to take and then trust that the ideas, emotions, attitudes, they'll catch up in due course if I take the action. So great to be here today and to share, and thank you for letting me.
Thanks, Claire. Next up is Kelsey R., followed by Kim B. Star one, Kelsey.
Okay, all right. Can you hear me?
Gotcha. Yep.
Awesome, thanks. All right. Hey, guys. Good morning. This is Kelsey R., recovered compulsive overeater in Texas. Thanks, Russ, for your service and Colleen and everyone else helping out here. Oh, this paragraph, it tells me that everything about me has to change. Everything. The way I think, the way I feel, the way I perceive the world, all of it has to change. And when I think of a spiritual experience, I think of the paragraph on 84. I'm going to paraphrase. We enter the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It continues for a lifetime. So for a girl like me who loves quick fixes, this does not sound like a quick fix. And I heard it described recently in a podcast that, you know, getting into a recovered state is about 10% of the work, and 90% of the work comes from living in 10, 11, and 12. And so that is where I grow in understanding and effectiveness. And I wanted the quick fix solution. I did it for a long time. I would pick up a sponsor. I would work the steps. I'd get recovered, quote unquote. I would pick up sponsees and I would do the deal. And then I would stop doing deal because I felt better. Because once I feel better and the house isn't on fire anymore, I don't think I have to do what I had to do to get into this place of feeling better. And I learned that lesson. It took almost 2 decades to realize that there's no graduation. There's no end. It continues for a lifetime. And I thought for the longest time that if I could just be fixed and go on my way, continuing to run through life how I wanted to, because I was and still sometimes can be a victim of the delusion that I can rest satisfaction if only I can set the stage of life to how I think it should be. So this is what needs to change. Everything about me, everything about how I view the world, and the book hammers this home again and again and again by telling me above everything, I must be rid of this selfishness or it will kill me. The change that is required for me is to be delivered. I cannot change myself. I have to be delivered from self-consciousness, self-centeredness, self-absorption, self-pity, self-everything to God consciousness and others centered. It has to happen with me, but I'm told that I must offer myself to God and then plead for God to build with me. Thank you. And with this, I'll pass. I have to be an active participant in this transformation. God has to enter into my heart and live in a way which is miraculous. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Kels. Next up is Kim B, followed by D and F.
Hi, thank you. This is Kim B from Oregon, and I'm not sure if I'm Kimberly B on the list. It might be Kim B. Just look me up. B as in beautiful. Oh, my gosh. What a powerful meeting. And I find that this vital spiritual experience in my life has been one bite at a time for sure. That's how my God works with me. And I relate my changes that he's bringing about in my life to the Renaissance. I think of the Dark Ages being the box, the beliefs, everything that I had put, you know, my little life, my little world, and how I chose to live it through patterns and behaviors of years to this beautiful awakening that this Renaissance of beauty and amazing, vast, truth that God brings into my life, and that vital experience is many little things. It was never one come to Jesus moment. It's been many little things, and it continues to be that. And this morning is a perfect example of that. I mentioned I'm in Oregon, so this meeting for me starts at 4 a.m. and I usually catch the second hour, which is 5, and I would miss all of these beautiful shares of this powerful, powerful hour. And I didn't wake up on purpose. My God woke me up right at four. And I got the feeling, you know, get on that meeting now. You're awake, do it. And I did. And that's how I find that each vital spiritual experience is when I'm willing, when I humble myself, when I trust that, gosh, maybe my God does have a better way for me than I have, then I'm given gifts like this meeting. Then I'm given opportunity for change, opportunity for growth, opportunity for a renaissance. And I love something I heard just a couple chairs ago. The 12 steps are a destructive process. I've never heard that before, but oh my gosh, to be able to destruct the life that I was living because my higher power is so awesome, and to be able to create and reconstruct on his guidelines, on his rock, and being able to build something with him that is truth and is right and is love and is loving myself. and is loving the people around me because I'm seeing the light. And it's just such a huge blessing. I've never been able to talk this long on a share. I'm always much quicker, but I just really feel grateful for this opportunity that we've all been given for vital spiritual experiences so that we can come to who we are meant to be, not on our own. And through humility, we can turn to our higher power and change. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kim. Next up is DNF, followed by Alice W.
Hey, good morning, Russ. Thank you so much. This is Deanne F. in New York, and I'm going to say F is for fun and for free. And this paragraph, wow. I mean, like, you know, first I just want to say that I'm a total word nerd. So, like, the more I get to look up, the more I love. And so, you know, what he's describing here, first of all, he's saying that they're vital spiritual experiences, and vital means essential to existence, to continued life. So it's vital spiritual experiences. It's not vital mental experiences. And it's not vital physical experiences. It's literally so specific. And this is not a spiritual person that's describing this. They're saying that it is vital to life that I have this spiritual experience, which for me, what that means to me is that it is going to occur in my heart. It's not from my mind. It is literally from my heart. That is what is my experience. And he says that it's phenomena, and phenomena is extremely unusual, extraordinary, marvel, a wonder. And I just say it's a miracle. So that's what he's describing here, is a miracle, because all of these things that occur, that me setting aside all of my lifelong conceptions, that can only happen as the result of a miracle. And, you know, when he says at the end, I've never been successful with an alcoholic of your description, that description for me is a person who must have a miracle. And I think I'm just going to end on that one. Thanks, guys.
All right, Deanne, appreciate it. Next up is Alice W., and then we're going to take another list.
Oh, hello, Alice W. here. I hope you can hear me.
Gotcha, yep.
Hi, yeah, just wonderful meeting. I love these meetings. So, yeah, when it talks about huge emotional displacements and rearrangements, it's an incredible paragraph as part of my art psychotherapy I'm doing in master's. We've been studying Carl Jung, and there's a whole thing, you know, obviously about Roland Hazard and his relapses and going back and forth to him, and basically, obviously, nothing, you know, it didn't work. Self-knowledge, the talking to him, you know, all the self-knowledge stuff, the kind of, in Nazi, they talk about the bottom approach, the brain psychology, the talking about self-knowledge, where that doesn't get to it. And, you know, Carl Jung talking spiritual solutions and where the brain can't get to. And for me, all the self-knowledge doesn't work. I am totally powerless over my defects of character, like anger, which get in the way, that block me from God. And the character I'm over the food, I cannot change. I have tried all my life. And right now I am very feeling connected to my higher power and seeing the change, the miracles that I could never, ever do. you know, one of my defects, many that I'm blocked from God is anger, reaction, it's a kind of darkness. And, you know, now I have somewhere to go. You know, I can take it to God. I can pray that everything is going to work out. Yeah, I pray to God that everything is working out for good. You know, please God, you know, show me that everything is working out for good. You know, and then I'm being given an ability to have feelings that aren't just anger and stuffing anger with food, because really those are my go-to: anger, stuff, or cigarettes. And, you know, slowly, and it's a day at a time. You know, I'd love to sort of go, my defects have all gone, because they're not, they're there every day, but now I have somewhere to go with them. I have something I can do. I can take them to God. You know, my selfishness, you know, I'm doing this, but I had my selfishness. My daughter, poor thing, she sprained her ankle. And my selfishness came in that I wanted to go skiing. I wanted her to go skiing so I could have a break. That's where I went, and I was a bit cross in my head. But luckily I was loving to her. I was compassionate with her. And, you know, and then I just took it to my sponsor. You know, she was talking about how it's okay to feel disappointed, but it, you know, that's a human thing, but it's also, you know, maybe going underneath that. Thank you. Contemplating with God, which I've done. I'm on here and I feel much better and I'm ready to be a nicer person. So thank you.
Thanks, Alice. So we got time for two-minute shares.
Please give me the
Later.
Herbert F.
I got the Rita, and I heard Herbert at the end. Yep, I heard you. The Rita P. I'm sorry, everybody else. Two-minute shares.
Okay.
Thank you for your...
Thank you.
Go ahead, Dorita.
Thank you. Thank you, Russ. Thank you for your service. My name is Dorita Pippin. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. Really grateful to be here. Privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody do not get this opportunity for whatever reason, so I'm really grateful I have a seat here. Trying to speed it up. He asked the doctor, are there no exceptions? And the doctor says yes. I think the doctor was happy that he asked, and of course, they say that's Roland, and of course Roland is happy for the response or for the answer. So are there no exceptions? Yes, replied the doctor. I mean, that's the good news. That's the good news. Yes, there are exceptions, you know, spiritual awakening. And I'm just really grateful. And I'll give the rest of the time to the next person. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Dorita. Appreciate it. Next up is Herbert F. You got like 2.5 minutes, buddy.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Russ. I'm Herbert F., recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Santa Fe, New Mexico. My life certainly needed to change after 10 years of eating and binging and vomiting and doing it again. And I realized now that I was doing it in the opposite way, that I was trying to eliminate things from my life that I couldn't eliminate them myself. I tried to eliminate foods that were triggering to me. Tried to eliminate my selfishness and my dishonesty. And I tried to do it by adding more rules. Don't eat this, don't eat that. Stop, cut that out, Herbert. I was reading self-help books and just really going about it in the wrong way by trying to force myself to stop all of these things. But then I realized, for me now anyway, and for what benefit it might be to some folks, is helps me to think of it as of not eliminating things, but adding new things to my life. Those critical things were like honesty, humility, and of course those 12 things called the 12 steps. And one critical factor is to add a sponsor who had what I wanted, that being a sense of freedom and a serenity around food. And so it really helped turn things around, and I thought, wow, how am I going to live my life without all these foods? And so, well, I added a food plan that was reviewed by a doctor of things that I could eat, those things that I could add to my daily diet. I added prayer and meditation. I added outreach calls. I added reading the book. I added sponsees. And most importantly for me, I added faith and a trust that a power greater than myself could remove those things from me that I could not. And today I'd like to think I'm a much better person for it. At least I know I can say with confidence that I feel recovered one day at a time. I don't have to fill myself with shame and guilt and self-help books, but I added the best. It's not a self-help book, but it's a help others book. And that's called The Big Book of Overeaters Anonymous. And it brought me to a relationship with my higher power and helped me eliminate those things from my life that I could not, because I was so desperately trying. And it just made me full of shame and anger and self-pity. So God bless everyone. Thank you, Russ. Have a beautiful day.
Thanks, Herbert. You too, my man. Herbert's going to be our last share. And thank you to everyone who shared today, and everybody made this meeting possible, and everybody did service for the month of March. All right, so stick around for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing if you want to share and keep studying on this. Today's share ID, Friday, March 27th, 2026, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,320. That's 23320. We're going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Zoe N's going to read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep it until then, and then we're going to pray.
Hi, Zoe N, recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.